nothing else is going to work and Jesus is all you have, that Jesus is all you need. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight with us into Genesis chapter number 3. God knew who was going to be here tonight. So don't be looking around, figuring who this message is for. It's for you. Amen. Sometimes we got to regroup and just ask ourselves where we're at. Amen. Are we where we need to be? And are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? In Genesis chapter 3, God asked Adam where he was at. Not because God was trying to find him. You know, sometimes songwriters write the words to songs, but they're not scripturally correct. Amen. That song, Didn't I Walk on the Water, there's a line in there that says, Didn't I search until I find you? God didn't have to search to find me. God knew right where I was. Amen. They say, well, the Bible says he came to seek and to save. He did. He came to seek you out, not because he didn't know where you were, but because he wants you to come unto him. Amen. He's seeking for you to come unto him. He's wanting and desiring for you to come to him. He knows exactly where you're at. Amen. He knew where I was at when I was in the lowest part of my life, in the most sinful part of my existence. God knew exactly where I was at. When I have backslid and I've sinned, God knew exactly where I was at. He never had to come find me. He knew where I was, but I had to find myself. Amen. The prodigal son, when he was in that foreign country, the Bible says when he came to himself, you know what that means? He found himself right where he was. Amen. He had to come to himself to come to the place where God wanted him to be. God knew where he was. Amen. God knows where I'm at. And he's never lost me. Amen. That just amazes him. Well, God has to find you. God never lost me. The only person that needs to get lost is me. When God asked Adam where he was, it wasn't because God didn't know where Adam was, but Adam needed to know where he was. Adam needed to confess. Adam needed to get across and get it real in his life where he was. Let's look at this passage of Scripture tonight and find out where we are. Where are you tonight? Amen? Where are you? Chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I'm sorry. Oh, pardon me. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And we're going to stop reading right there tonight. Brother Jim, would you pray over the message tonight? Sometimes we think of a message, or we think a passage of Scripture, well, that's got to be to somebody that's lost. But you know, sometimes God's people need to regroup and just, thank you, Brother Jim, and just account where they're at and where they are before God. And sometimes we just need to do that. Sin is a real subtle thing, and sin is a real slippery slope that's easy to get deeper in before you realize you're into it, amen, than what you was thinking. So it's something that we have to be careful of. Look at the subtlety of Satan, his seduction. The serpent's seduction is a great thing. And you know, he still seduces people today, amen. He still seduces church people. I want you to understand something. Adam and Eve were as close to God as any man and woman could be. They were closer to God than any man and woman can be in this earth. Amen. In his full Shekinah glory. They were closer to God than any man on this earth can ever be until we're reunited with him in heaven. Understand that. They were the best church members that you could ever find. They were the most sincere. They were the purest. They were the cleanest. They were perfect in every way. There was no sin within them. They were made in God's likeness and in God's image. And there was nothing in them that would separate them from God. I want you to understand that if they were susceptible, if they were able to fall victim to Satan, to the devil, and to all his seduction and everything that he does, what makes you think that we're not? Amen. So it's important, it's imperative that we guard ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, I keep after my flesh, I keep it in subjection. You know, we got to guard ourselves against the devil. He uses everything known to man. He knows what will get a hold of us. He knows what will grab us. Look at what he says in verse number 5. He says, you shall be as gods. He's applying to our pride the appeal of being like a god. He says, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He applies something to man that affects man probably more than any single thing, our pride. Amen? Our pride. We get worried about how we are and what everybody thinks about us. And we get more worried about what people think about us than what God thinks about us sometimes. Amen? And we allow the devil to appeal to our pride. Then in verse 6, he appeals to the envy of man, because when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband that was with her. First, he appeals to our pride. And then he appeals to envy. And he wants us to desire something that's not ours. You know, that's what envy is, desiring things that are not yours. Amen. Sometimes people desire other people's wives and other people's husbands. People desire other people's property. Amen. I seen Sister Marty put a post on the day that her and Nathan went to the store. And did anybody see that? They went to the, I think it was Walmart, was shopping, and Nathan was reaching down to get a box of macaroni and cheese, found a box of macaroni and cheese and was dragging it out, and some guy tried to snatch it out of his hand. Now, most of y'all know Nathan, don't you? Amen. He's about this much taller than I am, and he's about this wide. Amen. Nathan stood up and said, what's your problem? And the guy just looked at him and said, nothing. Amen. Amen. But sometimes people are desiring, sometimes people are envious over what you have. And right now, that's a real big problem. But we got to be careful that we don't allow envy to get into our hearts and get into our lives and cause us to desiring things that others are doing and others are having. There are people who drop out of church because they're envious of the lost. Amen. What has happened in our churches where people are no longer envious of what we have in the church house? Amen. What is it that's in our, I don't know, as a young person, you know, I understand my eyes got envious of the world. Amen. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do, young people. You got to guard yourselves. It's easy to get envious of other people's lives. And it's easy as an adult, and especially as a young adult, to get envious of people that have things. The problem with most of us, we don't want to wait for our time. Amen. You know, I have the things I have now because I've reached my time. Amen. I've struggled to get to the point to where I am now. I've got to this point to where I can do things that I couldn't do 20 years ago. Things I couldn't do when I was in my middle age. Amen. Why? Because I've reached the time. But I was always wanting to get to that time. And sometimes we can wish our life away. Amen. Amen. You know, I told people at work before I retired, I said, I'm not trying to wish my life away, but I can't wait till the day I retire. Amen. I'm not trying to wish my life away. And we can get envious of what others have and what others are doing. And if we're not careful, we let our envy draw us away from God. Well, we're trying to have what other people have in our church that are older than us and that are more mature than us and that have been down the road longer than us. And we're willing to forsake the things of God because of the envy of the world, trying to have what the world has. Let me tell you what, the world don't have anything that's better than what the Lord has for you. Amen. At your time and in your place. He applied and he appealed to the lust. She saw that the tree was to be desired, and that she saw in verse number 6 that it would make one wise. It will make one like a god, as the devil said. She began to lust in her heart for the things of the God, the things that didn't pertain to her, the things that didn't belong to her. Amen. And she wanted them. God didn't give her, and God didn't give man when he created him all these things in his life, because man did not need him. Man did not need to know. All that man needed to know was God. Amen. But man wasn't happy. Amen. And the devil knew how to twist things. But how did he do that? It started all the way back in verse number 4. By twisting the word. Itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. The Apostle Paul said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears that they want to hear. Sometimes in the messages, we only want to hear what we want to hear. Amen. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, we only want to hear what we want to hear. Just like that passage of Scripture we've been talking about there in Timothy. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I've been telling you today how people like to pick the parts out. They like to cherry pick what of it they don't want to use and just set it aside and just use the portion of it. But if you go back and you read that whole scripture, it says that he's not given us the power of spirit, but the power and might and all these things. But he's also given us a sound mind. Amen? Just because he's given me, not given me the spirit of fear and has given me the power of might, man, I don't know. I'm not going to just run out and jump on some giant. I'm not going to run out and jump on somebody the size of Nathan. Amen? You get what I'm saying? You know, I've got to use a little discretion. I've got to have a sound mind. Amen? And that's what we need to be careful of. The devil knows how to use these. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, in verse number 11, as he's getting down to there, he's been talking about how he had to have a heavy hand when he dealt with them the first time, and he's not wanting to come back that way. And he goes on down, and he's talking about forgiving and different things that's going on. And he says, and if you forgive somebody, and when I forgave somebody, he said, I forgave them just as if Christ had forgiven them. He said, because I got to watch some things. He said that in verse number 10. And then verse number 11, he says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, Satan still uses the same tactics in our lives to get a hold of us. Satan still uses the same tactics to appeal to our morality, to appeal to our relationship with God and try to get in between it. But look at what the Bible says over in John, for our 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, the devil, he appealed to all these things, but they're not of God. Amen? He appealed to all these things. He put the bug in their ear. This is what you need. That's kind of like the preachers that want to preach the health and wealth gospel, and they preach the watered-down gospel. They preach everything else about what the Bible says, and because it's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about blood. They don't want to hear about this. They don't want to hear about needing to get close to God. They want to be able to come in and hear something that tells them, oh, you're just awesome because you're here in church today. Now go out and do whatever you want to do and have a good good time in Jesus' name. Amen. That's not the gospel of Christ. Amen. But that's the gospel that we want to hear. He knows how to use our flesh against us. He knows how to seduce us into sin. And we need to guard against that. The four D's of his devices are disappointment, discouragement, doubt, and division. And what did he do right here? He got them discouraged. He got them doubting. Amen? Well, why wouldn't God want me to have this? Why wouldn't God? God didn't surely say that. Man, you twist the word around. Amen? And he knows how to do it. And he can get you disappointed. And before you know it, you've done slipped off into sin. Amen? Remember, these were model Christians, if you would. They modeled godliness and everything. There was no sin within them at all. They were perfect. Perfect in every way. In a perfect place. Because a perfect God had put them there. But the devil come in. And he seduced them. And he allowed them to be introduced to sin. To be introduced to the things that you wouldn't think would matter much when you have everything. They had everything. Stop and think about it. They lived in a perfect world. They lived in perfect. They had everything. But Satan still seduced them. Amen. If they weren't above it, you're not either. Amen. We see the serpent's seduction. Then look down in verses 7 and 8, we see sin's shame. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What's the first thing that sin brought into their lives? It wasn't this godlike nature. It wasn't this knowledge. They didn't start applying all these godly principles to their life. The first thing that sin brought to them was shame. Amen? What's the first thing that happened once they ate of that fruit? Their eyes were open, just like Satan said it could be. They were open to the things of sin. And they were ashamed because of who they were. Stop and think about that. They were ashamed because of who they were. God had made them. God had put them there. And God had made them naked. They didn't have any need for anything else. He gave every creature that he created everything they needed. Amen. The sheep have wool. Bears have fur. Everything had everything it needed. Mankind had the skin, had everything that it needed. But what happened? They became ashamed of who they were. You know what the devil will try to do? He will try to make you ashamed of who you are. Amen. And once you sin, he'll make you feel so ashamed that you need just to just get further away from God. Amen? The first thing they did was they sewed their little aprons in verse number 7. They were ashamed and they covered their nakedness. We still try to cover our shame. Our fig leaves are different, but they're there for the same purpose. What fig leaves are you talking about, Pastor? False indifference. Feigned pleasure, foolish statements. Oh, it's not no big deal. Amen. Oh, everything's all right. I'm all right. People, pastor, ask you, everything all right? Yeah, everything's all right. You living right? Everything good in your life between you? Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. We act and we put on the airs. We're indifferent. Our aprons are all the same. Why is that? Because we're ashamed. Why do we do that? We're ashamed. We don't want the pastor to know. We don't want our friends and family to know. We try to hide it from everybody, but friend, God already knows. Amen. We try to hide our shame. They sewed themselves aprons because they were ashamed. And then we try to hide. They heard God, and they try to hide. Man, there's nothing like having sin in your life and hearing the Word of God. I don't care what it is, and I don't care what the preacher's preaching on when you got sin in your life. God's Word will pierce your heart. God's Word will pierce your soul. Why? Because we're ashamed. Amen? We're ashamed of the sin. We're ashamed of the separation. We're ashamed of what we have allowed to happen. They hid themselves. They were wearing their silly little aprons, and they were hiding, trying to disguise their shame and trying to hide it. But their condition didn't change. Their situation wasn't any different. The only thing that they were appeasing was their own sensibilities. Amen. God still knew exactly what had happened. Sometimes we go through our lives and we hide our sin. We hide our shame. We come to church service. We can dress the part. We can act the part. We can shout hallelujah. We can sing a hymn. But we're trying to hide our shame. Amen? We try to keep it. Man, I hope nobody figures it out. I hope nobody finds us out. Amen? I don't want us to get out. I'll deal with it another time. I'll deal with it my own way. That's just what they were doing. But they were still ashamed. Look, they sewed them aprons to cover their nakedness that they were ashamed of. But when they heard the voice of God, they still hid. Amen? We make up excuses. We make up reasons why we're not going to seek God out. We'll just do that. I'll just deal with this on my own. Friend, you can't deal with sin on your own. Amen. The only one that can deal with the sin in your life is Jesus. Amen. The only way that can take away the shame, the only way that can take away the stain of sin is Jesus. Amen. And it's imperative that we get this frame of mind about us that there's nothing that we can do to deal with our sin. And the shame of sin will be there until it's under the blood. Amen? But once we get it under the blood, the Bible tells us He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us of our sins. Aren't you glad that we can go to Jesus and we can find a proper covering? We can go to Jesus and we can find exactly what we need. The first sin was committed. And the Bible said that man's covering was inadequate. But God made them coats of skin. You know what that means? Blood had to be shed. Someone had to die. Something had to die. The only way that we can cover our shame is to get the blood applied. Someone had to die and He died for us, and we need to be mindful of that, and we need to apply that to our lives every day. We need not to think, well, that's always somebody else and that's always somewhere else. No, we need to think about it's me. Where are you at? Amen. Amen. But then in verses 9 to 11, we see the sincere search. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Don't you think God already knew? God was already aware. But he asked Adam, where are you? Now notice the question, where art thou? God knew where he was. God didn't ask him. He didn't ask them why they were hiding. God already knew. Amen? He didn't ask them how long they'd been hiding. God already knew. Amen? He didn't ask them, were they confident in where they were hiding? They wouldn't be hiding if they were confident in their condition and in their situation, would they? They'd already made aprons. They'd already covered what they were ashamed of, but yet they were hiding. So there was no confidence there. He didn't ask them how long they had been in hiding and how long they intended to stay in hiding. But praise God, he asked them where they were. God knew exactly where they were. But Adam needed to find out where he was. Adam, where art thou? Well, I hid myself. Why? Why? You know, we can never deal with our sin until we confess that we have sin. We can ignore it. We can hide it. We can cover it. We can deny it and do everything that you can think of. But unless we're willing to confess and admit that sin is in our life, we'll never deal with that sin. Right. Amen. Amen? Where art thou? Where are you? God knows your life. God knows everything that's going on. Where are you? He asked us the same question he asked Adam. We got to deal with the same problems that he was dealing with Adam. And the question tonight we need to ask ourselves is where are we at? He's come to seek us. He said, the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He knows right where it was. He knew right where they are. He knows right where you are. He knows right where I'm at. But are you willing to admit where you're at? Are you willing to say, well, I'm here because? That's what Adam had to do. I'm hiding because I was naked and ashamed. I was afraid. I'm hiding because I've sinned. I'm hiding because of what I've done. Friends, tonight, let's not let sin, and I don't know who this message is for. I don't know what sin. I don't know if you're struggling with sin. Maybe everybody's just perfect and right and good here tonight, but the devil's just dealing with you. The devil's just fishing with you. He's got the bait. Amen? I mean, he's just jigging it along in front of you, waiting for you to take a bite and just to take that step that's going to lead you down that slippery slope. Maybe tonight you've got sin in your life and you've been trying to hide it and cover it up. Maybe tonight you've had it for a long time and you've been hiding it, but you've not confessed it. And tonight God's asking you where you are. I don't know. I don't know what its intended purpose is, but God does. I don't know who its intended recipient is, but God does. And tonight, we need to ask ourselves a question. Tonight, America needs to ask itself a question. Where am I? Where am I? Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.